Well, glory. Hallelujah. I tell you, that does something for you. I said the first service, I can preach after that. I tell you. Praise God. Praise God. I've just so much to thank Him for in His mercy and grace. Amen and amen. This is I love this time of year, Thanksgiving. It's a time to praise the Lord. It's a time to thank the Lord and to magnify the Lord. Amen. And let's do that this morning in the Word of God in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I want to look at Thanksgiving this morning, because Thanksgiving is not just a Thursday in November. Thanksgiving is every day. Yes. And as you live and as you live in Thanksgiving, you can produce Thanksgiving in your life. And here is the Apostle Paul. He is on lockdown in prison. He is waiting his execution. And he writes to the church at Philippi, hey, I'm in this situation and I'm in a time where I am down and out, but I can still thank God. I can still praise God. I can still rejoice in the Lord always. And listen, so can you. Now, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're feeling today, but you can give thanks. You can live thanks because of the person and the power and the promise. Listen, the peace of God that passes all understanding. So let's see that in the Word of God this morning. Philippians chapter 4. If you found your place, let me ask you to stand if you're able, out of reverence for the reading of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4, and you can see it on the screen as well. But here in Scripture, the Bible says in verse number 6, be careful. Don't be anxious. Don't be full of cares. That's what chokes the Word, by the way. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The God of peace shall be with you. I want you to look at verse number 6. Apostle Paul gives the secret of prayer. And when you pray, the Bible says we ought to make our requests known unto God with prayer and supplication. But did you notice the two words, with thanksgiving? Let me tell you, friend, if you are struggling with your prayer life, how about you get a little thanksgiving in your prayer? If you're wondering what to say and where to start as you come before the throne of grace, how about you start thanking Him for His grace? Charles Spurgeon said that when we pray without thanksgiving, we clip the wings of our prayer so it does not ascend to God. Let's put that in reverse. When you pray with thanksgiving, God hears it, God listens, and God helps and steps in. So Paul gives the secret here of a powerful prayer life, but I think it goes a little further with that. It's to really dealing with all of our life. And as we walk in our life, as we pray and as we praise, as we live our life, we can live a life that is thankful. We can live a life that with our prayer, we're offering thanksgiving. With our things that we're doing every day, just the activities of our day, we're doing it with thanksgiving. You see, it's not just the secret of your prayer life, it's the secret of your life. Yes. To live a life with thanksgiving, it's the secret of your relationships, by the way. With thanksgiving, it does something for you. It does something for those around you. I want you to see here in the Word of God, because there is, we can live a life of thanksgiving. You say, well, you don't know what's happening this week. You don't know what went on in my life. You don't know what's going through my mind. Every one of us has something to thank God for. Amen. Just the very fact that you were able to get up this morning, that you made it through another night, that God allowed you to wake up and you were able to dress yourself. You were able to feed yourself. You're here today clothed and in your right mind. Well, most of you, all right? You're here with a reasonable portion of health and strength. Just that is enough to thank God for. You think about what's going on throughout the world. Just take a look. If you've ever been on a missions trip last year, we can tell you about the rescue facilities in Moldova if you have a little bit of time and want to lose your lunch. But I'm telling you, just think about what's happening in third world countries or really anywhere but the United States of America. Think about all the things we take for granted. Just think of all the people even in our country that are suffering without a job. The other day, Anna sent me a text. She was actually in Hollywood shooting a video. Okay, she's actually shooting a movie in Hollywood, West Coast, putting it on. So she's not, you know, not a famous person yet, but she's in a little video that they're producing. And all the homeless people. You think of all those that go out to California and they go to Malibu, and it's just lining the streets of tents and people just staying, and they have no place to live. You've got a place to sleep. Listen tonight, you've got a place to live. You maybe have homes to stay at, and there are people all over our country sleeping on the streets last night. And last night, most of you had a comfortable bed to sleep in. Most of you had a warm house to walk around in. I can testify that my house was pretty warm. My wife plugged in that heater and I woke up. It was like 80-something in the house. So it was warm, but I don't know if I was thanking God for it. But I think I probably would if I was out in the cold. But listen tonight, listen, as you think about it, just the fact that you woke up and you had a night's sleep, that's enough right now, this moment, this hour, this very second, to say, thank you, Jesus. How God in His infinite mercy and His grace and in His loving kindness gave you another opportunity, is giving you right now the breath, the mind to give Him thanks. And you can live a life of thanksgiving. How do you do that? How do you thank God when you don't feel like it? How do you live a life giving God thanks? Well, here the Apostle Paul gives us four looks to thanks living. First of all, you look upward. As you look upward at God and all He has done, it's hard not to say thank you. You can't help but thank Him. I want you to look back in the text, verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Don't be full of cares. The idea, it's not the exact word, but the idea is don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried. Don't be filled with cares. Don't get all twisted up in your mind of whether or not God's going to come through. But know this, God will come through. God is God. God is good. Hey, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. God is on the throne. You can't impeach Him. You can't run little stuff against Him. He's not going to resign. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is seated on His throne. When Isaiah got a glimpse of glory, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And guess what? God wasn't running around, wringing His hands, wondering what to do. He was seated high and holy upon His throne. Look upward! Oh, if we can get a glimpse of God this morning, get plugged in like Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 6 and see God, He is still on the throne. He is still good. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, whom the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Aren't you glad this morning that the rain falleth on the just and the unjust? Aren't you thankful this morning that God is good all the time and His mercies are new every morning? Great is His thankfulness. So there's nothing to be careful about. If you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. God is in control. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to praise God. Oh, it's pray about it. And when you pray about it, leave it with the Lord. Amen. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Make your request known unto God. A God who is all-knowing still wants to hear you pray. A God who has everything still wants to receive your worship and your praise. Understand today that any blessing you have didn't come from your bank account. Any blessing you have didn't come from some connection, a hookup that you made. It didn't come from your degree or social strata or some job or income. All your help came from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Looking upwards, praising God, praying to God is a sign of dependence. When you pray, when you praise, you're saying, I can't, but you can. When you pray, you're saying, God, I don't have it. I can't do this, but you can do this. You have all. Psalm 50, verse 10 tells us that He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And by the way, he owns the hills that the cattle are on too. Psalm 21, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all that dwell therein." Hey, you can't help when you look up but praise the Lord and say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is the light in my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Everything that we need comes not from ourselves. It does not come from below. It comes from above. Oh, God is in control. Last night, if you slept at all, there is something in your body called the autonomic nervous system that enabled you for your lungs to expand and your lungs to go in and out and your heart to keep beating. And you didn't keep that in motion. God did. Listen, God did. And if you haven't said thank you already for just waking up, it's a good time to say thank you, Jesus. You woke up in your right mind. That didn't come from you. That came from God. How about right now? Thank Him for the air that you breathe, the clothes that you wear, that house you live in, the job that you go to in the morning, and that provision that comes in, the fact that you've got food on the table and you can provide for your family. Listen, there's some things that we take for granted. There's so many people right now outdoors in many places of this country with no coat to wear, no shoes to put on. God has been good to you. Keep looking upward and blessings will keep coming downward. Oh, as Thanksgiving goes up, blessings come down. God is a good God. Oh, if you're ever struggling with your life, just look up. Just look up. James chapter 1, we referenced that verse, says that every good and perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. What's the Father of light? That's the stars. Just take a look outside and look up at the sun, moon, and stars. And the God that all put all that in place, the God that's so big that keeps all that in place and in space, that's the God that's keeping your life. That's the God that's creating things and allowing. That's the Father of lights. And understand this, here's scientific proof for the Bible. It says there is no shadow of turning. You know, scientists didn't know this, but the Spirit breathed it out that the earth turns, but the stars and the moon, the sun does not turn. It's the earth that moves around the sun. So if there's a shadow, it's not the sun's fault. It's the earth that turned a different way. So listen, if you've got a shadow in your life, that's because you turned your back to the Son of God. There is no shadow of turning with the Lord. He is still God. He is still on the throne. Let's not rotate and turn our back. Let's turn and face the Lord, because every good and perfect gift cometh from above. I used that illustration in the first service about an ice cream cone. Listen, you crank that, you know, the old ice cream soft serve. You crank that lever, amen, glory, and you pull it down all the way, and you get your ice cream cone underneath it, and you fill it up. But listen, if you move that ice cream over just a little bit, you're not getting anything. Listen, you've got to get right underneath that, and you've got to pull it around. You've got to twist it, turn it a little bit, pop it up, fill it up. Listen, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that says that His mercies are so powerful that God opens up the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing that you would have not room to receive it. I have a Bible that tells me that God likes to press it down and shake it together, and running over shall men give to your bosom. Don't you like it in that ice cream? And they just press it down, and they push it in, they put more in. That's God. That's how good God is. And you get under the spout where the glory comes out. Look upward. Look upward and thank the Lord. He's still God. He's still good. I don't know what you're going through, but you can always look up and say, God is holy. Everything may be changing. He's not changing. Everybody may let you down. He'll never let you down. He's immutable. That's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look upward and thank the Lord. Number one, look upward. Number two, look inward. Look at verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I mean, there's something special about a believer. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's the peace of God. When something happens to a believer, if you're saved and you know Jesus, if you've experienced this as a Christian, you can say thank you. That there is something down deep within you called the peace of God. Let me tell you, I can't explain. I can't put my finger on it, but it passes. The Bible says it passes all understanding. You can lose a loved one. Things bad can happen to you, but you've got a peace that you can't explain. You've got a joy that's not rooted in what's happening to you. That's happiness, what's happening to you. Joy is rooted in Jesus, and you can praise Him, and there's a peace that passes all understanding. When someone loses a loved one, you haven't lost them. You know exactly where they're at. They're in heaven. And that's the peace of God. You see, it's the difference between a thermostat and a thermometer. You see, a thermometer goes up and down depending on the barometric pressure and atmospheric condition. A thermostat controls what's going on. It's looking 44 degrees outside, but 74 on the inside because the thermostat controls what's going on the inside. I'm glad when I got saved, I got a thermostat called the Holy Ghost. When everything's crumbling around me, there's a peace of God that passes all understanding within me, and I can praise Him.
Amen.
That's God. He's good. Thank you, Jesus. Where would I be without the Lord? Who would I go to have? What does the Bible say of man? If we have only in this hope, 1 Corinthians 15 says, if only in this life we have this hope of Christ, that He's died and not He's not risen again and resurrected and seated at the right hand of the throne of majesty, we would be of men most miserable. But we've got a hope that is rooted in the fact that He died and rose again. And He's alive and forevermore, and He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And when I pray and I don't even know what to pray for, the Spirit of God maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And we begin to pray in the Spirit and building up your most holy faith. That's the Spirit of God. That's the peace of God. We get plugged in, look in, get in, meditate, focus, get on your knees in prayer and realize that God's doing something within you. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's not only what you feel, and if you're saved today, you've felt that. People say, well, don't use the words like feeling and experience. Well, if you don't feel and experience anything, you're not alive, okay? You don't base things on feelings or experience, base things on the Bible, but listen, if you don't feel or experience something, you're not even here, okay? You're going to feel some things. It's called the peace. You're going to experience some things. That's when the pressure's on the outside, there's a peace on the inside. Praise God for that. I don't know where I would be. I don't know where I'd be without the peace of God that passes all understanding. It's what you feel, and it's also what you follow. We follow the Word of God, but listen to this. The Spirit of God leads and directs. In fact, Colossians uses this. Colossians 3, verse 15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, don't say, well, I don't have peace about this. I want God would not speak according against His Word. Don't take this and run the wrong way. Well, I've got peace to go out and do this or rob a bank. Now, you didn't get peace? That's craziness, all right?
Amen.
You follow the Word of God. But in areas where He's leading and directing you, I'm telling you, God is speaking.
Yeah.
And it's a still small voice. And it's the peace of God, the Bible says, let it rule in your hearts. Those that play sports know that word rule in the Greek language is the word for an umpire making the call. And how many times are you thankful for the peace of God that makes the call in your life? Aren't you glad He doesn't leave you directionless? Aren't you glad, praise God, that He doesn't leave you wondering what to do? He has given us His Word. He has given to us His Spirit. And there's the peace of God that rules in your hearts. And then it says, to the which also you were called in one body. And then it ties in this, and be thankful. Be thankful for the peace of God that enables us to follow what He wants us to do. Praise God for His peace. I don't know what I would do without the peace of God. I told someone yesterday, I'm not going to share that as an illustration. Number one, it sounds too unbelievable. But number two, there were those that were in that circumstance in different ways. But the Lord convicted me this morning and said, you need to share it. And I've got some evidence behind it as well. You can ask my wife. You can ask Steve Sampson. We were there. All right. So the other day I was heading shopping, and as I about to step out of the house, a still small voice, and I'm not exaggerating at all, a still small voice said, go get your gun. All right. And that's weird. I never heard voices like that before, but this time it was, go get your gun. You can ask my wife. I've never gone into my safe. In fact, I forgot the combination, but I found that key, and so I can't even get into my own safe, all right? And so if you know how to break in a safe, let me know so I can break in and reset it. That'll be very helpful for me right now. But I couldn't even get into the safe, but I found the key that I had stashed away, and I opened it up, and I went to grab my P-32, and then the Lord said, y'all think I'm crazy, but it happened. The Lord said, get the big gun. So I said, I'm going to get the big gun. And then on Saturday, there were two people in the church that brought me some ammunition. You know, you live in the country in the South when church members bring you some bullets. So they brought me bullets here, brought me two boxes of bullets on Saturday. I had run out. And so I said, all right, I've not loaded, I've not carried this thing for about a year or so. And I took the big gun out and I loaded it up. You can ask my wife. She's watching me going, what's going on? I said, God told me to get the gun. He told me to get the big gun. She said, what are you doing? She said, God told me to grab the gun. He said, where are you going with it? I don't know. God, I'm going shopping. I'm going shopping with a gun. Okay, so I got a concealed carry, so don't turn me in. But I walked out of the house, first time I've ever done this, walked out of the house with a gun in my front seat of the truck, laid it right there in the top. Some of y'all just drive that way every day. I don't, all right? And I was driving through, and I was going in, and I was going to Harris Teeter. This absolutely happened. I was going to Harris Teeter the other day. And as I was going through that first intersection, and I was heading over, not audible, but a leading from the Holy Spirit, don't go to Harris Teeter. And I still don't know why he had me bring the gun. Maybe he has a backup just in case I didn't listen to the Holy Ghost. Because I said, don't go to Harris Teeter, go get the eggs at Lidl. Now, Lidl's cheaper, but I don't like turning in that corner, doing a U-turn with the truck and all that mess. And so I was going to go into Harris Teeter, a little nicer shopping experience. I don't speak German, so, you know, I was going to go there. And as I went in, the Holy Spirit said, don't go in that parking lot. I pulled out of the parking lot, went through the BB&T. Steve did the same thing. Went into the BB&T, the back entrance where it says, do not enter through area, okay? And I know I didn't rob the bank with a gun, all right? So that's not where it's going. But I went through the back area and went in, stepped out, sat there for a while with my gun in the front seat of the truck, and I saw Steve Sampson come out in the rain. And we stood out there, what, 20 minutes, 25 minutes in the rain talking. And no, I didn't have my gun then, but we were talking out there in the rain in the parking lot. I forgot what I was even going shopping for. I walked in, walked out, and listen, friend, as I went home, I looked online and found that was the exact time there was a shooting in the parking lot at Harris Teeter. And if I'm not drawing attention to myself, I'm saying I know that happened to me. And God spoke, God led, God directed. And I looked at my wife, we looked at each other and said, when's the last time I walked out with a gun in my hand? When's the last time I stood out in the rain talking in front of a store that I didn't want to go to in the first place? That's God. I've got so much to thank Him for. I'm not spiritualizing that. I'm praising God for it. He's good. He protected me. I don't know what could have happened. He could have chosen me to be there. He could have chosen me to deliver me a different way. He could have chosen me to go to glory that day. But I know He chose to speak to me and direct me in that path. I'm praising the Lord for the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And so no matter what's happening, I can praise Him. I can thank Him. I can glorify Him. And some people know today about that peace. And that peace that passes all understanding. And that provision that passes all understanding. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And you can trust Him no matter what. That's why you can thank Him when you're broke. That's why you can thank Him and praise Him when you get paid. That's why you can thank Him when you're sick. And you can thank Him when you're well. That's why you can thank Him when they like you. And thank Him anyways when they talk behind your back. Thank Him when you're up. Thank Him when you're down. You can look upward and say thank you. You can look inward and say thank you, Lord, for your peace that I feel. Thank you, Lord, for your peace that I follow. Number three, look outward. Sometimes we just get it. My dad says it sometimes. Build a bridge and get over it. All right. Sometimes we just need to get out of ourselves. That's good loving kindness encouragement. All right. I think one time when I was at my first job, I was like, I don't want to work here anymore. I can't. The way I'm treated, he said, will you take yourself with you? That was another good one too, you know? He said, you just plug in and work hard and do well. Amen. I'll tell you, what is the Word of God? Sometimes we've got to get outside of our own, whatever's going on in our life. Get out of Eeyore Christianity. Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, if it is a good morning. You know, get out of that mess. God is still good. Yeah. Stop counting your bruises and start counting your blessings, okay? God is still at work. Well, He's not at work in my life. Yeah, He is. You're alive. You can breathe, can't you? You're here today, aren't you? You have another day to serve. He is at work. He's at work in ways you can't even see. There are things that could have happened to you that didn't happen to you. There is the grace that God's given to you. If there's no prayer, even no more prayer that God ever answers, if He answered the prayer of your salvation, God is still good and at work. You can praise Him for that. Look outward. Get out of yourselves. Look at what God is doing. Look at verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is a command. God commands us to think only on those areas that meet this criteria. Not an option. It says a command. Think on these things. So thanks, if you're sitting around thinking about negative, depressing things, you're in disobedience to God. That means if you're thinking about some things that have no good report, things that don't happen. Well, it's true, isn't it? Yeah, maybe true, but is it just? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Is there any praise? Think on those things. Why does God say think on these things? Because when you focus your mind, it affects your mouth. Listen, the word think, T-H-I-N-K, and the word thank come from the same root word, one letter difference. Because when you really think about it and meditate upon it, when you think about it, you'll thank God for it. Amen. And you start, I'm telling you, you've got to train your mind to get out of this mess that's going on. Get out of the situation you're in and start thinking about that which is good, that which is holy. This is not the power of positive thinking, okay, Robert Schuller? It's the power of biblical thinking. It's the power of right thinking. And God says, think on those things. This is not pie in the sky. This is the Word of God. This is taking thoughts about Jesus and thinking thoughts about His grace and thinking on these things. And the Bible says when you think on them, the peace of God comes into your life. And you begin to be thankful when you really think about it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Not for everything. But everything. Can I teach this to you? No matter what situation you're in, no matter what it is, you can thank God for something about it. If you think about it. Now, if you're just operating in the flesh, I'll tell you, I can start complaining about anything. Give me 5 or 6 seconds, I'll start complaining about carpet colors. I can start focusing on the negative very quickly. And what happens when you focus on the negative, you're not a thankful person. In fact, you're one step away from apostasy and depravity. Romans chapter 1 says, neither were they thankful because they glorified not God. Says, last days, perilous times shall come. There shall be proud, boasters, lovers of their own selves, incontinent, traitors, heady, high-minded, unthankful is in the list. As you look outward, you're going to think about God, anything, no matter what it is. Matthew Henry, here's an illustration. He was robbed one day. He said, what do I have to thank God for? And I get robbed. He was robbed, and the thief came up and stole from him. And as the thief was about to run away, he said, hold up. I'm going to take some time right now, a little praise break, and thank the Lord. The thief turned around and listened to Matthew Henry, began to praise the Lord and pray. And he said, Lord, I want to thank you. All these years I've lived, and I've never been robbed before, and I've forgotten to thank you for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. This is the first such occurrence. Thank you for your faithfulness. He said, thank you, Lord, as the thief was about to turn a little further. Thank you, Lord, that he took my wallet, but not my life. He's got my money, but he doesn't have me. Thank you, Lord, for that. It could have been a whole lot worse. Amen. He said, most importantly, Lord, thank you that he took my wallet, but I didn't have much in it. Amen, all right? Praise the Lord. You can always thank God for something that's going on in your life. I'm telling you, as a kid, and I've shared this before, as a kid I had a tendency, and I read all the Hardy Boy books, you know, and the mysteries, the murder stuff, and all that. And then I finished those, so I read the Nancy Drew books, all right? They're about the same thing. And so I began just to kind of read the paper, and, you know, the Burlington Times, and I would say, Dad, there was a murder down last week. You know, there was this going on, and I wanted to solve the crimes, and I was just focused on the bad things that was going on in the town, just as a kid. So my dad told me, you're going to memorize Philippians 4, verse 8. And he reminded me of this when on the way out of the service, he said, you need to tell them what I really did. I said, what'd you do? And he said, I put a poster above your bed. I said, oh, yeah, I remember that poster. I thought you were doing that. It'd be nice. You know, he put a poster above my bed with this verse. He said, memorize it. What's where things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Some of y'all need to get a poster and put it in front of your bed. Some of y'all put it, you need to just write it out somewhere. You need to have it on a card. Think on these things. If you think on these things, look out. Look outward. Get beyond your little sphere of whatever's going, this so-and-so talked about me. So-and-so didn't die for your sins, okay? This person said that. Forget them. Forget that. Focus on Jesus. Get your eyes on Jesus. Look at what He's doing and everything that's going great. Everything God is doing in your life. Give Him praise. Think on those things and it will produce thankfulness in your life. Finally, look at this. Look forward. If you can't praise Him for what's going on, praise Him for what He's going to do. Amen. Woo! We can put it in park this morning. Because there's a whole lot that God's going to do. Yeah. I've got in my Bible, maybe today, He could come back right now, today. He could split that eastern sky right now. This life is not it. It is a vapor. It is for a little moment and vanisheth away. This life is not it. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. He could come back right now at this moment and we're going to be with Jesus. And guess what? For eternity, it will be worth it all. For eternity, as we worship the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world and say, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy. Friend, it's going to work out.
Amen.
I can guarantee you, that sickness you've got right now, you're not going to have it forever. Because when you get it before His presence, you'll be perfectly healed in a brand new body. Amen? That home that you're not enjoying right now, you've got a mansion on the hillside. It only gets better for the believer. The best is yet to come if you're saved. Hallelujah. You can always praise Him. You can look up and praise Him for what He's brought down. You can look in and praise Him what He put inside you. You can look out and praise Him for what's going on everywhere around you. But you can look ahead and say He's doing something in the future. Do you see what He says here? He says, those that which you've learned, received, and heard, and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You do these things. You pray right. You think right. You act right. And God's peace and God's power and God's promises are activated in your life. And you can make it your life statement. The God of peace shall be with me. It will work out. He is in control. Oh, here's the Apostle Paul. He's in prison expecting death. Look at verse 11. He said, not that I speak in respect of want. He said, that's not like everything's going right in my life. He's in prison. He's about to die. Remember Paul? He had that thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And three times he said, Lord, remove it from me. Three times God says no. But he said, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ would rest upon me. That's the position. He said, I'm not speaking in respect of one. I'm not looking for anything here. But I have learned in whatsoever state that I am, therewith to be content. I have learned how to be abased and how to be a tenor. Now, how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Here's verse 13, a verse used out of context. Many times, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, when I'm down, I can do all things through Christ. When I'm up, I can do all things through Christ. When God's blessing me, I can do all things through Christ. When I don't feel like I can do all things through Christ because it's not me, it's Jesus. Hey, when you're hungry, He's the bread of life. When you're thirsty, He's the living water. When you don't know your way, He's the way. When you don't know what's right or wrong, He's the truth. When you're without life, He is the life, and He gives eternal life. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. He's the rock of our salvation, our only firm foundation. Hey, He's a friend, a faithful friend who will not change. He's the cornerstone that remains. He's the same. We've got so much to thank Him for, and we know that while weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh into the morning.
Amen.
You may be down to your last dollar. He's still Jehovah Jireh. My God will provide.
Amen.
And He said, I will provide according to all of my riches and glory, all of your needs. Not your greeds, but your needs. He says, I'll provide it according to my riches and glory. You may be sick, you may be down, but He's still Jehovah Rapha, the great physician. The doctors may have a word, but He's got the final word. He is Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You may have no peace, but He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. You may not feel like you have anybody to get help from. He's Jehovah Shammah, our present help. You may feel like you're struggling with that certain sin. He is Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier. You may feel like you're never right enough to get into His presence. Listen, it's not our righteousness. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness. And at the worst day, at the bottom of the barrel, He still came to this earth 2,000 years ago, lived a perfect life, went to the cross of Calvary, suffered, bled, and died for us. He went to that old rugged cross, suffered the separation from the Father, endured the wrath of the Father. He was buried, and on the third day, He rose again.
Amen.
And one day He's coming for you and for me. So that's why I can have a thanks living every day. That's why I can thank Him. If He saved you, thank Him. If He's done anything for you, thank Him. If He's been good for you, thank Him. Is there anybody today that will be with the psalmist that will say, I will bless the Lord at all times. Good times, the bad times. When I'm up, when I'm down, I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm going to have a thanks living. And His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is there anybody today that will say, I'll bless the Lord. I'll praise the Lord. I'll thank the Lord. I don't care what the nine do. I'm going to be the one that returns and thanks Him. I'm going to tell God, thank you. He's done so much to me. If God's been good for you, thank Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Listen, if He doesn't answer another prayer, if He doesn't open another door, if He doesn't make another way, you still have got so much to thank Him for.
Amen.
Praise Him. Think of that 12-year-old boy named David who's born without an immune system. Went to a bone marrow transplant to correct the deficiency. And up until that point, he had spent his entire life in a plastic bubble in order to protect him from the germs, the bacteria, and the viruses that could kill him. He lived his entire life not knowing any sort of human contact. Could you imagine just living in a plastic bubble? When asked what he wanted to do when released from that protective bubble, he said, "I've been waiting just to walk barefoot on the grass. I've been waiting just to give my mother a hug, hold my father's hand, just to feel and see." Listen, today we take those things for granted all the time. The things that you complain about in the life you live is somebody else's dream in some other part of the world.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this question as you close. One of the most pressing, pertinent questions I've ever asked myself. What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things that you thanked God for today?
That's good.
What if you woke up tomorrow with only the things that you thanked God for today? Would you choose thanks living this Thanksgiving and say, "I'll bless the Lord at all times"? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed. Miss Lisa is coming to lead us in a time of worship.